the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast. We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up Dynasty football. We're giving you an In the Trenches Dynasty Talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you. This week, we're talking about Dynasty Back to Basics. Starts of the week and a little preview of week 13. We are without Dr. Chibb this week. Unfortunately, he's actually on a plane right now. So we're going to be operating a one-man show here. So let's get to it. Starting us off, we're going to look at Dynasty Back to Basics. So looking a little bit differently this week to just get back to the main thing, which is what is Dynasty, bringing it down to earth for all of you listening there, and really simplifying what Dynasty fantasy football is. You know, Dynasty is filled with a lot of different action items that you have to do throughout the year, and I think it's important that we run through those from time to time and look at, you know, what those important elements are that you might not know your first time or second time even going through a Dynasty year. And I also wanted to touch base on, you know, kind of a big ticket items on, you know, what is that number one thing that you should know to play Dynasty. And for me, that really is that you don't have to be an expert in football. You don't have to know everything. It's important to remember that, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. But at the same time, anybody can play, and there is that luck element. You know, a lot of people like different board games because, you know, they've got cards or they've got rolling dice, you know, a lot of those chance elements. And you find that in fantasy football in general as well. But it's also true in Dynasty. And the most important thing for Dynasty is participation. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to know everything about real life football, but you do need to participate and be a part of the league in order to really be your best, you know, and get that opportunity to win in Dynasty, which is, after all, what it's all about. Some might say fun too, but you know, between fun and winning, it's definitely one of those two is usually the reason why you're playing the game. So looking at the year in Dynasty football, I wanted to highlight the activities or, you know, all the action items that you're doing throughout the year and what the basics of those are and how to approach them. So to start us off, you know, starting with the startup Dynasty draft, depending on when you're joining a dynasty league, you may or may not be actually participating in the startup. You know, if you're taking over an orphan team, that's a team that has had a previous owner and it's a league that's existed before your current year that you're going into, there's likely already players on your team. If you've got an orphan team, sometimes Dynasty leagues will do an expansion, or the reverse. They'll actually reduce their number. You know, and those kind of come with their own special different types of drafts. You know, either every team gives up some players or something along those lines, or the, you know, the teams that are going away are actually you know, their players are then up for draft from the others. But for the most part, when you start in dynasty football, you like to start from the beginning. And that's kind of how I recommend starting your first time, is drafting your own team. And really, that way you can have a shot at winning year one. You know, you look at Dr. Chip, and he's actually not doing that, right? His first time in Dynasty was, he took over an orphan team, and in fact, it was the worst orphan team in the league. That team really was not set up for success, and he's had to live with a horrible team for 3 years. And that's not always fun. You know, there's some fun elements there. His team did have a lot of first round picks, so that's kind of cool. He got to get interested in the rookies and really buy into the growth element of the youth, right? But it's a slow burn on rookies. So getting involved in a startup draft is probably the best way to start off Dynasty. Start just right from the beginning. So what does that entail? Well, a lot of people like to put together their own boards for drafting, and that's my preferred method, but you don't have to go that in depth. Again, if we're talking keep it simple, you can go in and acquaint yourself with what your league's platform has for the draft order, the default draft order. You know, this varies league to league, system to system, platform to platform. And you just have to go in and acquaint yourself with that before the draft. Part of one way to do that is by doing mock drafts in that system. And usually you can get pretty close to what you'll experience in the draft. It's important to remember there's always going to be some different elements in your actual draft than what you experience in mock drafts. That could just be because of scoring, or, you know, sometimes the system doesn't put all of the same players in the same places. So you just gotta be able to learn how to navigate the system, right? And then you'll adapt to the changes, and some of those issues that could become larger problems in like a redraft league where you've got kind of a faster draft. Typically Dynasty, the good part is that you're usually doing a slow draft of some sort. So especially for the startup, but even rookie drafts end up being slow drafts usually, because everybody's in different areas and it's hard to get everyone together, right? So if you're doing a slow draft, you've got time to kill. You can look in once the draft has started. You know, sometimes you'll have 4 hours to make your pick. And at that point, and even before, if your draft room is open, you should go in and set a queue. This is the number one thing that I see people doing wrong, is they don't have a queue ready to go. And what a queue is you're basically putting the list of players together in the order that you would want to take them. Otherwise, you're reliant on the system to draft players in a specific, in whatever order their formula has come up with for you to draft. And that can mean that you end up with 3 kickers, 4 defenses. You know, you could end up with 4 quarterbacks. Any of those situations is negative, right? And or you could end up with 8 running backs and 3 wide receivers. So, you know, you don't want to be in those situations, because then you might have trading capabilities there, but you're not going to necessarily be A, taking the best players available, and you're also not going to necessarily be in a position where you can then be ready for week 1 right off the draft. You're then having to trade with other people to be ready for week one, which typically other people will not want to trade before week one. Depending on the league, you know, some of those better trading leagues will be more than happy to do that. But for the most part, people like to go into the first year with whatever team they drafted. That's kind of the lowdown. Get a queue started. You don't have to queue up all of the players you're going to draft for the whole of the draft, unless you've got that ready to go, and then in which case, go for it. But you're gonna be adapting to whatever player you get before, the pick before. So I would keep it about three picks out, or at least two. That's kind of the way I do it. So, after the startup dynasty draft, basically, it's important to know that values of players change rapidly. They could change during your draft. So just be aware, find a source for news. There's tons of them out there. Usually your platform is actually a really good place for that news. Some of them even give you player specific to your team, the news specific to your players on your team. And others just kind of give you general breaking news. And then there's some other sources out there. One of the favorites of mine is Fantasy Pros. They do a very good job of getting facts out there quickly. So that's a good place to look. My next item on the list here is a kind of funny one, but setting your team name. So it's important to get involved in your league, right? And you'll hear me say this a couple times here, but setting your team name is kind of like step one in getting involved in a league, you know, showing your personality, showing that you're there, active, changing the picture from the default, things that show that you're participating, right? So that's kind of a pretty basic thing. Third thing in terms of activities that I got for you, learn the platform and the player lookup tools. We talked a little bit about the mock drafts and that end of things, but the player lookup tool in your platform will be the number one way that you learn about different players, especially players on the waivers, comparing your players to other players to see where you stack up. But it's also going to be how you scout talent out there. It's going to be how you're looking around, and it's really your eyes and your ears. And so you got to get acquainted with that and some of the stats that you can see and things like that. Again, if you're just trying to ride the waves, you know, definitely figure out at least how to see the waivers, right? And the players available, because that's the biggest thing. Learn your scoring. You do need to have that. And at the very least, learn where to look up your scoring. Some platforms make this really easy, like on Sleeper, it will actually highlight things that are different than the norm. And that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for, okay, what bucket can I put my league in? And then what does that mean for the players that I'm going to draft? For example, are you in a standard scoring league, a half point per reception league, or a full point per reception league? You know, standard is 0 points for a reception. Those leagues have different variations, and they mean different things for both running backs and wide receivers. You know, wider in a full PPR, you're gonna really prefer having those players with high volumes of receptions, right? And then half PPR, it's gonna be more balanced, I find. You know, that's kind of my preferred scoring. And it's nice because you get some good points for for those players that get lots of targets, but there's also going to be a little bit of a hit to them because they're not scoring maybe touchdowns. They're maybe not scoring, getting a lot of yards. So there's that balance. And then same thing with running backs. You know, those pass catching running backs do have a boost, but it's not such an extreme boost that, you know, it kills those running backs like, you know, Derrick Henry and some of those others that don't necessarily get the receptions, but they're great, great runners. You know, Nick Chubb is another one who's unfortunately injured right now. So learn the scoring. Next is rookie scouting. So what we said there is kind of during your joining process. Startup draft is usually kind of part of your joining process. You know, you should learn the scoring before you draft, definitely. But all of that's kind of in that first clump there. And then we've got the rookie, you know, starting your second year, or some people do the startup dynasty draft without the rookies and then do a rookie draft even in the first year. So rookie scouting is important. It's important to know how many picks you have, how deep that rookie draft is going to be. And then also where you're putting those rookies on your team. Do you have a taxi squad? A taxi squad is, you know, a few bench spots. You know, they're not, again, they're taxi squad spots. They're not on your bench per se, but they're locations on your roster that you can stash a certain number of players. You know, if the taxi squad is the same number of picks that you have, great. It's going to be really easy to put your rookies there. Taxi squads typically only allow guys on there for the first year. Some allow them on their second year. Each platform has kind of different rules as far as how you can maneuver and when you can maneuver people on and off your taxi squad. It's kind of important to know, but again, if you're not trying to get that in depth, it's not the end of the world. I just recommend going into the year, you should have a full taxi squad. So that could mean that you pick somebody up off the waivers after the draft if you've still got extra spots. If you've got rookies that you know are going to contribute year one, you might not start them on your taxi squad. They might be in your starting lineup or on your bench. But you just want to make sure that you're filling in that taxi squad spot to make full use of your roster. Your roster should always be full. If you need to pick somebody up, you should always have to drop somebody because you have a full roster, right? So going into the rookie draft, rookie scouting, there's a lot of different tools out there for scouting rooks. I like to put my own eyes on the rookies going in and learning about them, and then figuring out, you know, where they could match on my team. And I like to get my guys pretty early before the NFL draft. So that way I can be excited about guys and, you know, and I kind of get some buy-in. You know, and your view on certain players should change when they go through the NFL draft position in the NFL is a big indicator of future success, but it's not everything, right? There's undrafted rookies that do well all the time, sometimes, right? They're kind of valuable at times, you know, or you get late round guys like Puka Nacua, you know, that flash and come on pretty strong in their rookie year. So it's important to not let any one thing taint your view of a certain guy. You know, have a balanced approach or just have an approach. Rookie draft is going to operate similar to a startup dynasty. Again, I recommend doing some mock drafts, see where guys are, you know, look at the internet, see what the mock drafts out there are saying. And at the end of the day, know that, you know, you go in and you go and get guys at about their value. You know, that's the big thing with drafts is when it's okay to build your roster around guys that you want on your team. What you don't want to do is get them at values that aren't, or get them at draft locations that aren't the equivalent to their value to the world, right? So, for example, last year, you could say that you really believed in DeAndre Swift on Philadelphia coming into the year. That was not a common belief. Everybody was a little bit hesitant, but if you were going into a startup dynasty draft and you said, okay, I want DeAndre Swift on my team, and you said, okay, I'm going to take him 102 overall, you'd get laughed out of the room, and you really shouldn't do that because he's not going any, he wasn't going anywhere near that. He was probably in the 10th round, you know? So you could wait until the 9th round and grab him again. You could grab him a little early, but there's such thing as too early. It's just, you know, lighting your pick on fire, if especially if that doesn't work out. But the important thing is that you could probably get somebody at that earlier spot that could also help your team and then still get that player later. So that's the most important thing for rookie drafts and startup drafts. Rookie drafts tend to be a lot more structured. There's not usually a lot of wiggle room on player values. So if you're not sitting in a location where you're going to get your guy, you can trade. And that is the best thing about dynasty. It's trading. That's the best. That's the most exciting part is when you're either trying to trade, you know, sending out trade offers, or you're planning out who you're going to do a trade with. And you can look at, you know, their roster and see, okay, what do they need? What do I need? How do we make us both happy? Usually the best way to get a trade done. And then I'll be honest, it takes a few offers out there. It takes some work to get a trade done. But the exciting part is then when the trade goes through and, you know, you kind of, I remember I, you know, I was, we were mid draft and I drafted, or I was, you know, I kind of get rookie fever when, or just draft fever when we're in a draft, and you know, people can absolutely take advantage of that all the time, but it's something I enjoy, is getting more picks in the current draft. And so I went into the draft with, you know, a couple picks in the first round, but really nothing else there. And I traded some players away actually to Dr. Chibb and got like 3 second round picks. And I was super pumped to get back into the draft in a big way. And then, you know, I got, you know, rushing to get my guys at that spot because, you know, either they, you know, they probably weren't gonna be there in the fourth round when I had my next pick, but they also shouldn't have been drafted in the first round, right? So there's some guys in that second round range that I liked. And the way to know that, again, is mock drafts. Kind of see where the world is. You're not going to know how your league mates see players necessarily, unless you're talking to them. But even then, they could be lying. So who knows? But that's kind of the fun part. Yeah. So trading. So we talked about during the rookie draft, but trading is important throughout the year. So trading is the number one way that you change the course of your team. So if you're a good team and trying to get better, how are you going to do that? It's through trading. If you're a great team trying to stay good or increase your longevity, or just say, I'm going to be the best, I'm not going to be great, I'm going to be the best, trading. That's how you get there. If you're the worst team, how do you get better? Trading, right? You take advantage of player values when they spike, because every team in the league is going to be at a different stage in their cycle, right? They could use, like right now, DeAndre Swift, great for a win now team. Little doubt, you know, doubtful value for a win later team. A team that's not doing well probably shouldn't have much business training for DeAndre Swift or like Zeke or, you know, Cooper Kupp maybe or Mike Evans. You know, some of those players that are doing quite well, you know, Zeke's kind of the odd man out in that list, but trade them away. You know, I look at my team and I'm in win now, and I've been trying to get players like Cooper Kupp, and I'm kind of glad I didn't because it didn't work out this year. But I've got kind of a youthful team. Like my starting lineup this week is probably going to be Chris Olave, Tank Dell, and Christian Kirk. I would love to have some, you know, some veterans at those wide receiver positions to really boost my upside. Now that being said, I scored the most points in the league last week. But that was with, you know, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison also in there, but again, talking to rookies. So I got a little bit youthful this year, but that was through trading, right? All right. During the year, there's really only a few things that you're going to be doing. But the number one thing is setting your lineup. So this is kind of a cool part. You get to see how all of your players progress throughout the year. You start to, you know, you play matchups. You see, okay, who's lighting up the scoreboards. All right, let's get them in. You know, who's earning their way into your starting lineup. So that's kind of the fun part about Dynasty is you do get to still manage your team throughout the year and try to get those wins and see how your team and your players are progressing and cheer for those players. It's important to play waivers. Always keep your roster refreshed. There's going to be players that fall off the face of the earth during the year. You want those to replace them with players that are, you know, up and coming or just useful, right? So the waivers are important to play. And each league has their own kind of waiver system. Some have FAB, FAAB. That's, oh my gosh, free agency something budget. the second A is not coming to me. Acquisition, that's probably what it is, a free agency acquisition budget. So that's kind of cool because it gives you a dollar amount that you can spend on waivers in each period of the league year. So usually you get an off-season budget and you get an in-season budget. And so it's usually like $100. And if it's not $100, then you kind of take a percentage of that for, you know, everybody. A lot of people talk about, okay, spend 25% of your budget on this big player that's up and coming, you know, or using those percentages. And that's kind of how you take that advice, is you translate it to your league by using a percentage. I like that way. There's also just waivers, which have no dollar amount, so it's first come, first serve. But with the caveat that there's a waiver order, and so tiebreakers either in FAB or just if there's no FAB, just every claim on the same player is broken by waiver order. So, and that's kind of when you get to the top of the waiver order, you claim someone, you're then put to the bottom. And so it kind of keeps a rotating cast of waiver order. The injured reserve is an important element for in season. This is a portion of your roster that players that have been injured can be put on, so that they don't take space up on your main bench roster area. And they better not be in your starting lineup, right? That's kind of how you show that you're active in the league. If you've got players that are injured in your starting lineup, you're probably telling your commissioner to find another person for your league. And that's no fun for anyone. So, and you're probably handing people wins, right? You're losing your league, you're handing people wins, you're not participating. Something to avoid. Injured reserve, that's a way to make more space on your roster. You're always trying to stuff players on your roster because when Rico Dowdle goes off for 20 points, you want him on the back end of your team rather than your neighbor's team. You want that flashpoint, you know, Puka Nacua coming into the year. It's like, oh my gosh. And he was probably on a lot of people's taxi squads because they didn't think he was going to do anything this year. All of a sudden he flashes, bring him up, you know, and when, you know, Justin Jefferson goes out on IR early in the season, you know, you bring Puka up from the taxi squad, right? So that's how you should be always moving players as much as you can. Put as many players as you can on injured reserve as possible. Because when you know, each league's a little different as far as what a designation has to be for injured reserve, but some allow players that are out to be on injured reserve. And that's great because even within a week, you can throw somebody on injured reserve, grab somebody from the waivers as you go into games, and you get a little boost if, you know, if that player does well, all of a sudden they make a roster spot and, you know, somebody else, you know, and then you got some decisions to make probably, but at least you took the chance on the player and, you know, and then they're on your roster. So you get that kind of first claim there. So that's how I like to use injured reserve, setting your lineups for the playoffs. So once you go through the season, if you make the playoffs, great. Setting your lineups for the playoffs are a little bit different in Dynasty than they are in your standard leagues, your keeper and your redraft leagues, because when you're going in the playoffs in redraft leagues, you get a little bit sloppy and starting to like dump those players that are not going to help you for players that are in this year. So in the playoffs, you want to remember, in Dynasty, you want to remember that you're still going to have these players next year. So if, you know, for example, let's say Nick Chubb, who's out for the year, or Anthony Richardson, out for the year, they're going to come back and hopefully help your team next year. And so they should be on your IR. They shouldn't be on the waivers, you know, but you do need to move them there to make space for the players that are going to help you this year and through the playoffs. Cutting players, you're gonna have to cut players at some point. Hopefully it's because you've been stuffing your roster with players and, you know, some of your players got good and you have to make room for them, or somebody's coming back from injury and okay, you gotta shift somebody off your roster, or you just drafted a whole bunch of rookies and now you're cutting some of your veterans that really haven't showed up for you, right? Or just the regular claiming people off of waivers, right? And you're going to drop somebody to do that, typically, unless you've made room by moving somebody onto IR, injured reserve. So you want to cut those players that are not doing you any good. You do want to know who they are, right? You want to know if they're are they youthful. You're going to keep some of those players that are youthful. If a player doesn't have a team, they're generally on the chopping block on my team. But it depends on how quickly you think that they might find a new team, right? If a player is retired, they're usually on the chopping block. You know, it depends how much you believe them that they're going to retire. Most players are good to go and you can dump them. If they retire young, you know, maybe not. if they're Tom Brady, maybe not. You know, there's some special circumstances. But Tom Brady should be fully cut at this point, right? He's not coming back, finally. I say as a Bills fan. So definitely keep your roster turning. That's the name of the game in Dynasty. And frankly, it doesn't take that much work. If you're doing one league, you know, it's probably 15 minutes in a week. So, you know, and then another 5 minutes maybe to set your lineup. Doesn't have to take that long. What might take more time is chatting in your league. And I do encourage you to chat. As I said before, stay, always participate, right, in your league. Make sure that, you know, you're making it a fun experience for everyone, a fun experience for you, kind of bond. I like to form leagues over, you know, old friends and stay in touch that way. I think that's a lot of fun, a really cool way to stay in touch, and, you know, kind of keep the banter up. Always love that. You know, you should make a culture, right? Create a winner trophy tradition, a last place tradition. You know, I'm not too into the last place traditions, I'll be honest. You know, a lot of people like to torture their last place winners in some ways. You know, I usually just have an overall leaderboard for all of the years that the Dynasty League has been existent. And, you know, it kind of helps to be like, oh, well, that team is in last place, you know, and all time rankings of last place. And so you kind of can give them crap for being there. But, you know, I don't necessarily like any of the torture there. I do like last place getting the first overall pick. That is my preferred method. So that way you're getting, when you're setting the draft order, which is kind of our next item, you're encouraging teams to rotate, right? You're giving the worst teams the best picks. And that way you're boosting them because you want turnover. You don't want the same team winning year in, year out. And that's not fun for anybody. You like to see some teams, you know, get some longevity to them. That's great. But if, you know, the same team is winning for 3 years straight, you're gonna have some upset owners, and so you'll probably see people wanting to make a change at that point. So definitely keep those traditions, you know, and there's other traditions. I'll give you an example. In one of my leagues, we redraft divisions every year, right? It's kind of, divisions are kind of a cool element, especially in Dynasty, because you get like those rivalry intra-division rivalries. Just look at the NFL. So it's really fun to do that. But then, you know, we found, okay, we get a little bit bored. You know, we play the same people every year, and, you know, people just didn't want to be in my division, I think. Yeah. No, not always, but, you know, sometimes that's it. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm in the division with the Patriots. Please get me out of here, right? So you get some of those feelings, but the cool part is that you get those teams that you're going to play each year. And what you can do is, okay, maybe the division winner gets to choose who their opponents are. You know, all of the division winners draft their opponents for the next year. And so that can kind of create a little bit of turnover. They can draft all of the bad teams first and the better teams later. And then you can set your schedule based on that, or you can let the computer set the schedule. There's a lot of things that you can do, just to make things fun and keep people participating and stay in touch, you know, and make friends and make a community. It's not meant to be a job, and if it feels like a job, you're probably not in the right place, right? You know, but But no, that's one reason why, like, if you're in a work league or something like that, that's why a lot of people like Dynasty, is that you can stay in touch, you can talk to people, come together over something different than you would otherwise, and talk football and kind of, you know, it's like playing a board game, but you get to play the board game all year round, and that probably sounds like hell to some people, but for others, you know, maybe that's fun. You know, just remember you're going to be able to take a breath at some point. You know, again, we're talking 15 minutes a week. You know, there's a ton of other things in your life that you do a lot more than that, a lot longer than that. So, all right. So that's kind of the back to basics. I wanted to switch things up a little bit. I wanted to at least put this in the archives there for everybody to jump back to. I know it's a little bit of weird time to do it, but again, you know, maybe it helps you prep for the playoffs, which are just around the corner for a lot of dynasty leagues. I'm already in one set of playoffs. It's a, you know, it's a league where you have a 2-week playoff. Each week in the playoffs, each matchup is 2 weeks in the NFL season, which is kind of fun. I feel like it kind of levels doesn't necessarily level the playing field. It actually kind of does the opposite. It gets the better teams a higher likelihood of actually winning. So it lowers the variance factor there, less chance. But I did want to talk a little bit quickly. We're already, you know, taking up a lot of your time, but week 13 previews, did want to talk about these and kind of tell you where we're at with these teams right now. So Seahawks, Cowboys, they're our first matchup on Thursday. Cowboys 8-3, Seahawks 6-5. Chip's team not doing all that well, but they are above 500, which is probably more than we can say for some teams. Not naming any names, but my team is not above 500. They are at 500. Cowboys, Seahawks, who's going to win? What team is looking good? Seahawks aren't looking great, I'll be honest. I'm kind of avoiding them in this matchup. The Cowboys defense is really good. The Cowboys are probably going to be the team to bet on in this game, especially when we're talking offensive side of the ball. And honestly, defensive. There's an opportunity here for the Seahawks to make a lot of mistakes and for the Cowboys defense to be a good play this week. Broncos, Texans, both 6-5. Both teams are kind of actually looking good. Broncos looking better than bad is probably a good way to say it. And Texans really like heating up. We're really liking what we're seeing out of CJ Stroud. And yeah, this team, again, they're kind of middle of the pack, right? But I'd like to see the Texans take a win here. But I think there's an opportunity here for the Broncos defense to shut them down. They've been looking really good. Houston Texans defense has looked good earlier in the year. So what I would say here is all four of the four sets of for the four sides of the ball, I guess you can say, the two offenses and two defenses, the weakest unit is probably the Broncos offense, right? So, but they have been looking slightly better. So I would probably take the Texans, but I think the Broncos could play here, and the ball could bounce their direction. Chargers, Patriots, Chargers 4-7, Patriots 2-9. I like the Patriots defense. It's probably the best unit in this game. The Chargers offense is probably second there. And then the Chargers defense, and then the Patriots offense. So looking at a reduced Chargers offense, but still probably gonna get the win. But the Patriots defense could make some plays. Lions, Saints. Lions are 8-3. Saints are 5-6. I'm not liking what the Saints are looking like right now with Derek Carr. The Lions, they're looking great. They did lose their last game against Chicago, and I think they're going to want to punch someone in the mouth. So definitely Lions looking up there. Falcons, Jets. Falcons 5-6. Jets 4-7. The Jets defense is the best unit in this game, and they could just take over the game. I will say that the Falcons' offense, barring the quarterback, is pretty good. But yeah, I think I'm taking the Jets, honestly. I think they're going to steal one from the Falcons here. Cardinals, Steelers, best unit, I'll say the Cardinals are 2-10, Steelers are 7-4. Best unit here is the Steelers defense. Cardinals offense has not looked like what we wanted to with Kyler, but it's not horrible, I guess. This is a lost year for them. So I expect the Steelers to take this win. Colts, Titans. Colts 6-5, Titans 4-7. I like neither team in this matchup. I don't want to choose, but I'm probably going to choose the Colts. Will Levis has looked a little bit better for the Titans, but I think the Colts have the better roster overall, and Gardner Minshew's the only question mark, and he's been okay. So Colts there, Dolphins, Commanders, Dolphins 8-3, Commanders 4-8. I think the Dolphins offense is the best unit and going to override everything that the Commanders have on defense. And the Dolphins defense isn't half bad either, though they do have some recent injuries that could severely hurt them. Panthers 1-10 versus Buccaneers 4-7. Panthers have just lost their head coach. Special teams coordinator Chris Tabor serve as the interim head coach. There you go. So that's good. At least they have a coach for the actual game. Buccaneers, I'm just going to get. I just take them. 49ers, Eagles. Yeah, that's going to be a good game. That might be an NFC championship preview. Hopefully, honestly, that'd be a great game. But I do like the 49ers here. I think they're just all around a stouter team. Though the Eagles, yeah, they're good. They're really, really good. The best team right now in the league, according to their 10-1 record. So Browns 7-4. Rams 5-6. I'm seeing the Rams taking this one with some of the injuries to the Browns. Defense especially, that was their best unit. I think the Rams offense becomes the best unit in this game. Their running game is really looking good, so I like it. Chiefs 8-3, Packers 5-6. I really like the Chiefs in this game. Their defense is looking good. Their offense is, well, Patrick Mahomes, right? So Packers are looking good, but I'd prefer the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to win this game. So the Packers offense, I will say, passing game has been really good. So the Chiefs do have to play some defense here. It's not a gimme game. Bengals 5-6, our last game here, versus the Jaguars 8-3. Jaguars for sure going to be the team that should win this game. Bengals defense is good enough to steal one, but that'd be a little wild. They don't have Joe Burrow, so that's why. So those are our games. Looking at starts of the week, looking at the week 12 guys, how did we do last week? Well, I'll be honest, I won't bury the lead here. I won with a -3, which just tells you how bad Chip did. Jib had Geno versus San Francisco. He was bad. Kareem Hunt was bad versus Denver. Noah Brown was actually out, so I counted that as an okay with the negative five. So that tells you just how bad it was. Isaiah Likely was okay versus the Chargers. New Orleans, okay versus Atlanta. And Craig Joseph, not great versus the Bears. So he didn't have anybody that actually was positive, right? I didn't do much better. Negative three again. Joshua Dobbs, Chicago, was bad. Ty Chandler versus Chicago was bad. That was a fluky, weird game. Josh Dobbs threw four interceptions. Not good. Nobody saw it coming. Unfortunate. Probably because I chose him. Right? Wide receiver Romeo Dobbs versus Detroit. He was not great. I got burned by that in the league. Cade Otton, tight end, versus Indianapolis. He was only okay. Defense, New England versus the Giants. They really saved me. They were great. So would have been tied with Chib if it weren't for them. Jake Moody versus Seattle was just okay. So New England's defense saved the day there for me. What are we doing for week 13? Well, Chib gave me his guys. He chose first. He chose Will Levis versus the Colts. He's liking how he's looking. Levis was the backup for last week, so he's going with him again this week. Chuba Hubbard versus Buccaneers at running back. DeAndre Hopkins versus the Colts at wide receiver. That one might be in a little bit of a fishy range, but we're going to go with it. Tight end Gerald Everett versus Patriots. Eagles versus San Francisco for the defense. And then kicker Jason Myers versus Cowboys. I kind of like the Eagles one. Again, I'd probably say that the 49ers are going to win that game, but Eagles could very well take it over as well. I think it's going to be it's going to be a balanced game. I'm seeing like 24-21. So, yeah. Good picks there. I think, you know, I wouldn't choose Chuba Hubbard against the Buccaneers. I get scared off from the Buccaneers' defensive line. The Colts' offense is kind of not scary for Will Levis, so that's fine. We haven't really seen him do incredible again. DeAndre Hopkins is fine. Gerald Everett versus the Patriots, that's okay. Yeah, I wouldn't really love that. It's good defense. Jason Myers versus the Cowboys. Good against a good defense. So I'm a little scared for some of his picks, but we'll see. For me, quarterback Russell Wilson versus Houston. Again, good defense going up against them, but I like what he's been looking like. Scored a rushing touchdown last week, so that was cool. Running back Rico Dowdle versus Seattle. Again, decent defense, but Rico has been showing up more for Dallas. Wide receiver Rashee Rice versus Green Bay. Not a great matchup here, unfortunately. A lot of bye weeks going on, so not a lot of great matchup plays, but Rashee Rice really came on last week, so I like him. Tight end Juwan Johnson versus Detroit. He's coming back from injury. This is his second week, so he should play or factor in a little bit more. And then defense going with New England again. This time versus the Chargers, a little risky here. The Chargers could absolutely blow them out of the water, but I'm playing a little bit into the idea that the Chargers always disappoint. So kind of banking on that, and that New England's got a good defense. Young Hoku, you know I like to pick him whenever I can, versus the Jets. I think they're going to only be able to score. This is Atlanta. I think they're only going to be able to score with field goals in this game. So I like that pick. That's it for this week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Next week, we're talking week 13 and 14. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. That's the weekly pod. As Dr. Chib likes to say, choose happiness and spread love.